I recently replayed through Metro 2033 in Last Light, and came away with a new perspective on Metro Exodus. When it was first announced to be an open world game, my first thought was, how can they make a Metro game without the Metro? However, after replaying these games, I quickly realized that this series already has aspects that we'd consider staples of modern open world games. There are things that make their campaigns more than just eerie corridor shooters, like tense survival mechanics, allusions to a much larger world, and themes that could be painted across a broader canvas. It's made me much more excited for Metro Exodus, but also a little worried at the same time. Setting the scene. Metro 2033 laid out an extremely detailed, fully realized post-apocalyptic world in a way few games do. Taking refuge in the Moscow subway system, some 100,000 people survived what is assumed to be a total nuclear apocalypse. With the surface an irradiated wasteland, the survivors set up cities in the large terminals and railways below Moscow. Communities and economies formed. But the sins of the past weren't dead. Not only do the new, unnatural horrors of the surface begin to creep down into the dark, cavernous tunnels, but so does human nature. The communist red line rises up with the militaristic values of the former Soviet Union, and the Fourth Reich implements the purification policies of Nazi Germany. With the Rangers of the Order struggling to keep the innocent safe, the conflict between these factions forms the backbone of Metro Last Light's campaign. Amidst all of this, our hero Artyom must navigate the twisted tunnels and politics of the Metro while trying to discover the significance of his ability to commune with the mysterious race known only as the Dark Ones. It's a much more intricate and heavy story than what you'd expect to find in a shooter campaign. Taking these conflicts and spreading them across an open world opens up many opportunities, like having to decide which factions to work with and which to shun. You could potentially open or close avenues of progress depending on which ones you choose to work with. Metro is also a game all about morality, so I expect these decisions to carry a heavy weight as I navigate the Russian wasteland. Tools to survive. We've come to expect some sort of survival or crafting system in our open world games, and Metro already has both. The simple ritual of having to repair and maintain your gas mask is one of the most novel systems to come along in some time. You need to make sure you're stocked up on filters before you venture out into a toxic environment, and failing to do so will make your journey much more harrowing. Combine that with the possibility of it breaking during combat, and you're encouraged to spend more time sneaking around than running in guns blazing. Not to mention the scarcity of ammunition in this dark future, and the fact that it's also your main form of currency. All these rules already exist in this world, used to make the previous game seem that much more real and claustrophobic. I can imagine a situation where I'm stranded out in the middle of nowhere, with one filter, a few bullets, and monsters screaming in the distance. It's just as anxiety-inducing as being trapped in a dark tunnel with a flickering flashlight. In addition, the series has always had a robust arsenal of slapped-together, customizable weapons. From pellet guns that are little more than air pumps and copper tubes stuck together with duct tape, to refitted ancient AK-47s. The weapons look straight out of Mad Max. They also allow for modifications like laser sights, crude sniper scopes, and makeshift silencers. So it's easy to see a situation in which you have to decide between playing it safe or investigating a dilapidated settlement in hopes of finding that final piece to craft your perfect gun. Of course, that settlement will also have remnants and clues about its past, helping to build the world around you while you're trying to build the weapon in your hands. Choices and consequences. The final piece here is something that really came to life in Metro Last Light. There are two distinct moments in that game where the world opens up to you, They're small segments lasting only about 20 to 30 minutes each, but give insight into how Metro Exodus could handle its open environments. Early on, you're given control of a cobbled-together rail car. Think of the buggy from Half-Life 2. But on rails, of course. As you make your way down the metro tunnels, you have the opportunity to stop and investigate side areas. Many of these are optional and only provide access to supplies or collectibles. However, providing the player with the choice to explore off the beaten path was a great novelty at the time. This level of player agency is also experimented with in A Visit to the Surface. Here you are given a simple objective: reach the church on the other side of the swamp. You could rush through the critical path, but there are so many side diversions that it's hard to pass up the mysteries they may contain. As you make your way through, the sun begins to go down, and the darkness is reminiscent of the metro tunnels, and just as foreboding. All the while, you have to keep an eye on your gas mask filter, because even though you can explore, you are still at the mercy of the toxic waste surrounding you. I can easily imagine these scenarios expanded upon in Exodus. I hope to see them woven into the main story structure without feeling required or overwhelming. Full steam ahead. On paper, expanding all these things to fill an open world should be easy. However, it can still be a challenge as you run the risk of devaluing any individual system. If upgrading your weapons feels like a never-ending fetch quest, or if gas mask filters are too rare, it may make exploring feel tedious rather than exciting. Furthermore, painting a faction as the good guys or the bad guys right out of the gate may strip the game of its series' themes of morality. There's also the chance of it falling into a never-ending checklist of open-world fodder, losing all sight of its story. Probably the biggest crime of all when it comes to this series. All signs point to A4 Games taking a restrained approach to their open world. Metro Exodus isn't going to have a sprawling, never-ending map like Far Cry or Fallout. Instead, it looks like we're going to get open, yet tightly crafted environments, providing us with the opportunity to venture off the beaten path, but only so far before we have to get back to the business at hand. This format has worked well in games like Rise of the Tomb Raider and Borderlands 2. It has the potential to work here as well. The good news is that we won't have to wait long to find out, because Artyom's journey out of the Metro is just around the corner, and Mother Russia is waiting for him.